Okay, today's daf is Erevin Yerushalmi daf Tezvav. We are in the second parak, parak Os and Pasin, and we are on Yud Dalet Amud Beis. We were discussing the Dyumdin, as we discussed yesterday. We had a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir about how one closes off an area where there is a watering source, and Rabbi Yehuda says you have to just put the Dyumdin four double boards that on the four corners. Your mayor says you have to have the straight ones in between also. You have to have the straight ones in between also. And that was our discussion that we had towards the end of the shiur yesterday, whether each Rabbi Yehuda would agree to each other. Right? That was the question. The Gemara first said, Havin bo and Meimar. The Gemara said in the middle of the Yodan Mabez. We thought to say that Rabbi Meir would be Modes Rabbi Yehuda. It's just that Rabbi Yehuda would be Modes Rabbi Meir. That's what we thought at the beginning. Their mayor would be moded to Rabbi Yehuda, that he would allow just extending the Dyumdin. Rabbi Meir, who says you need the straight ones, maybe you don't dafka need the straight ones, right? It could, as long as you extend the corner ones, that would be good enough. That's what we thought to say, the Talmidim, Havid Boy Meimar. And then the Gemara says, no, each one rejects the other one. Meaning Rabbi Meir requires pshutin, period. That is the what would be required, and that is what the Gemara says, lo dein mori la dein, lo dein mori mori la dein. So we're up five lines for the bottom. So Amar Rabbi Mana, afagav de lo Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Hadamilsa. Rabbi Mana says, even though that my Rabbi, I didn't hear Rabbi Yosi say this explicitly. Say what? That Rabbi Meir wouldn't be maskim to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says just yumtin. Rabbi Meir requires the flat ones. Even though I didn't hear Rabbi Meir say this explicitly, I didn't hear my Rabbi say that Rabbi Meir wouldn't be moda explicitly, Amr Dichvase, but I got that impression from something else that he said. It was implied, right? The language of the Bavli is, even though it wasn't said, mi mashmos, right? Bavli said this numerous times also. Lo ela michlala itmar, right? It wasn't beferish yemer, but michlala itmar. So that's a similar idea. Amr Dichvase, Rabbi Bun, kumi Reb Zira. Is that right? Rabbi Bun, v'Rabbi Bun. Two people with the same name. So if we have, keep our girsa, then we'll have that. We also had this earlier on Daf Yud Beis. Same idea. Some change the girsa because how could you have the same two people with the same name? But that's maybe Rabbi Bun v'Rabbanan, different deos. Maybe we'll talk about names in a minute. But Bezim, let's first finish. So Rabbi Bun v'Rabbi Bun, Bon Kumi Rabbi Zira, Kama Yehe Diomed Aref Lo Yitzarach Pashut. So they asked in front of Rabbi Zira, how much space does there have to be, according to Rabbi Meir, right, who requires the straight ones also, how much space does there have to be between the corner ones, the diumads, and the flat ones, and the pashut? That's what it is. Kamiya diumach orach. If you look at Rav Chaim Gadievsky, he has the girsa of rachok, How far does it have to be and not be too close? Because if it's too close to the pashut, right, let's say if it's within lovewood of the pashut, then it's just going to be considered, if it's too close to the diumad, then it's just going to be considered an extension of the diumad, and it won't be considered its own independent pashut. It won't be considered its own independent one. So how far? How far does it have to be minimum for it to be considered its own entity? And Amar Lahu and Rabbi Zeira answered them, Pachos Bishloja Kesasim. If it's within three tvachim, right, if the flat ones, the pashut ones, are within three tvachim of the diumads, that's too close. Because then it's just considered an extension of the diumads, right, if it's within three tvachim. Yoser Mishisha Huflag. And if it's six tvachim away, then for sure, that's not up to discussion. Then for sure, you need the, the pashut, and that is, if you look in the Ruchai Gadievsky, Muflag Yoser Mishisha Pshita Kfar Huflag V'chashe Pashal Atzmo. Right, that's for sure clear also. So if it's within three tefachim, it's for sure considered an extension of the diumad. If it's more than six tefachim, it's for sure considered not an extension, because as we've said, you have, you know, the three tefachim and three tefachim in between each one, and now it's for sure independent. Eliki anan ki kain anan kaimin. What's our suffix? What's the question that you're asking me about? Mishlosh shavad shisha, right? If the girsa between three and six. Between six, that's the only issue. So from this conversation, right, now this is getting back to our point here. Rabbi Mana says, from this conversation, I realize that according to Rabbi Meir, you need the pashuts, Right? Because let's solve the assumption on this question. How far does the Pashat have to be? Because if it's too close, it's just an exception of the Tumat, and that's no good. So from the whole background and assumption to the question, it must be that Rabbi Meir does not agree to Rabbi Yehuda, meaning even if the diomads are extended, it's not good enough. The Rabbanan allow these inferior types of walls only if you have the double ones and the single ones. Itamer Rabbi Meir Yodel Rabbi Yehuda. If you say, so just explaining what I just said, if you say Rabbi Meir is Moda to Rabbi Yehuda and that he would allow just the corner ones, so let it be longer. Let the diomad be extended. You don't need the pashit. But you don't say that. You say that, no, there's a minimum space that you need between the corner diomads, the double boards, and the pashit. So it must be there. Rabbi Meir holds that you need them. You can't get rid of that. You can't not have them. I guess let's just finish up the section, and then I'll go back. And so now the Gemara quotes another couple of opinions about Rabbi Meir's understanding. What did the opinion that we just said holds? That Rabbi Meir is not moded to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir requires, again, for the Olei Regalim, if you have these pits in the middle, he requires double boards, the corner ones, and single ones. Rabbi Meir requires both. Amar Rabbi Bobar Mamal, Lo Nitzrach, Rabbi Meir Lepshutim, El Lepshitas Rabbi Yehuda. Another version and understanding of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir only requires the Pshutim within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. What does that mean within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda? We had a Machlokas number 2 yesterday in the Mishnah, if you remember. How far in between, what space are you allowed to have? Rabbi Meir said that you're allowed to have enough for two teams of animals going through. Right, going across with three animals each, which basically we say means 10 amos. Rabbi Yehuda says even 4 animals, a team of 4 oxen on each one, which is 8 oxen, and that was about 13 and a half. So the Gemara here says, Rabbi Babar Mamal says, Rabbi Meir only requires the flat ones if it's more than 13 and a half or 13 plus amos in between. Meaning he doesn't always require the flat ones, only within the Rabbi Yehuda world, where you are allowed to have the space of 8 animals, that's where he would require it. And one more, Amar Rabbi Yosa, Afila Mishitasi, even within Rabbi Meir, no, don't focus on Rabbi Yehuda's shear of 13 plus amos. No, even within Rabbi Meir's own shita, Mikol Makom, Ein HaOmed Rabba Alaparitz. Remember, in our case, it's an exception because the standing area where there are boards is much less than the parrots. It's much more open. Mikivan, switch the girsa. She Ein HaOmed Rabba Alaparitz, and because the Omed is not more than the parrots, Tsarech Pashut. That's why you need the flat. So we have a number of understandings of Rabbi Meir here over the past couple of lines. Right? We had before we had Rabbi Mana and Rabbi Chanina. Right? We had earlier towards the beginning of the sugya that holds that you need a pashut if it's more than 10 amos. It's more than 10 amos. You need a pashut. Rabbi Babar Marmol says you need a pashut only if it's more than 13 and a half amos, 13 plus amos. And then Rabbi Yosef in the middle, you always need the pashut no matter what. 3 different understandings of Rabbi Meir's opinion, period. Once we're on the subject, a little bit of names at the beginning. We had Rabbi Bun and Rabbi Bun. People have the same names. And again, we had a line like this earlier, right? The Meichal Hamayim in the Achron in the back points out that Ha'ara, that it might have the same names. But we know names have a lot to do with Geulas Mitzrayim, right? We know the Medrash tells us at the beginning of Shmos that the Geula happened, Shaloshinu, 4 things, four reasons that we were Zochet, and the, it's Vayikra Rabba, Perak Lamed Beis, and, Emar also, Af Kishayu Bishavya, Loshinu Ashmam, Velo Elonasu, Shemos B'nei Yisrael. The Bishval Dal, Dvarim Digalu Mizraim, Bishval Shaloshinu Ashemosam, Velo Shonam. So they didn't change their names. There is a big discussion in the poskim, we talk about Rabbi Bun. Rabbi Bun is not dafka, a non-Jewish name, but using a non-Jewish name, or what makes it not Jewish? A non-Hebrew name, let's call it. Not a Yitzchak and Moshe and David. So something, what is there an issue with that? Many people are called, I don't know, Eric, right? Is that that's not a Torah name, but there are many Jews with that name. Right? Michael. There are many Jews. Is Michael just a Moshe? Just a Michael? Is it like the same name, but just English-sized? Is there a difference between Michael and Eric? And, again, nothing against Michaels or Erics. So that's a major discussion in the post. The Maharam Shik was known as a tshuva, which he's very charif. Maharam Shik was charif about a number of items. So Maharam Shik, says that it's an Isser Daraisa to have a non-Jewish name. Chukos Ha'akum. And Va'avdol Eschem and Amim Liosli. After all, Tosfos and Gittin, on Daf Lamed Daled, quotes a line from Rabbeinu Tam, where he writes, Chalila Lanu Lahazkir Shem Nachri Beget. Right? Chalila, to put a non-Jewish name in a get. That's the Lashon of Tosfos there. So you see from there. And it's known, it's said Rav Asher Weiss in the first piece in Shmos, quote, that it's known, okay, it's known to him, but now it's known to us, that Maram Shik was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. What does Shik stand for? So Shik was, they made some type of Gzeira that the Jews weren't allowed to have any non-Jewish last names. So he took, okay, we'll name Shik. Shik stands for Shem Yisrael Kodesh. Right, that's the Rashi Tevis of Shik, but they pulled a fast one on the authorities. We're gonna name ourselves Shik, which is not a Hebrew name, but that's what. V'karakin kashroisu gzeira ba'astraich, shekal mishpacha tzricha lahosif, shem nachri, bachru b'shem zeshu rashi tevis, shem Yisrael Kodesh. So the Maram Shik, and the Marshag is Talmud, and the Tzavis Panech, the Ragat Shavar, all hold that there is a problem. But if you look in Ramosha in Arachayim, Chelek Dalas, Simon Samach Vav, Ramosha, does not think so. And he has a Chiddush Gadol. Again, this is quoted by others. Rav Moshe has a Chiddush Gadol. He says, look in the Rishonim. What about Maimon? Doesn't sound like such a Jewish name. And the Magen Mishnah's name was Vidal. Right? There's many, he says, Apis Damet Savchu Mitchila, Nishtako Hashem is Ben Yisrael, where he says, Gedole Ashkenaz, Kabal Magen Mishnah, Sheshmo Rahari Rabino Vidal, Vekama Gaonim, Kidamashkachina, Beshuas Gaonim. Right, there is a Balei Tosfos named Peter, right, and there's a Shalachin Chas V'Shalom Lan Alom Ashlo Asu Kehogan. The Acharei Shekvar Nisraglu Yisrael Beilu Hashemos Ein Bazeh Shaychus L'Tam Haganai. This is not Chukas Ha'akum, right? This is many Jews have these names. V'Ein L'Shanos L'Kro Shem Beno O Shem Bito Al Shemos Hazakenev Hazakenos Shenikru B'Shemos Laz Shuinyan Kavod Hamishpacha. You want to call after the grandparents. This was asked to a certain Avrech in 1980, Tufshin Mem. When your wife has a child, Bashatova Muslachas, Vahavla Tia Bas, Tikro Sal Shem Imcha. Don't worry about it. Call her by the mother, doesn't say what the mother's name was. Aval Mikivich Amar, Alea Shalom, Mesat Sira Libiyamin, but because she died young, the Shalok Kederech, so maybe you add on a little bit. You know, you could change a little bit. Okay, he gives some examples. And then he says in the continuation, he says, and it's possible, and now this is Ramosha's Kiddush, that pre-Matan Torah, it was more important to have these names because there was no Torah to separate you from the Umos HaOlam. So at least to have the names. But once we have the Torah, says then it's less of an issue. Then it's less of an issue. Avlachre matan Torah in lanuchi midina v'gamlo uminyani zehirus u'musar elamashin it's tavinu atari mitzvus l'daros so a mitzvah shen estavol l'sha v'chulu. And that's Ramosha again. You got to look into it. Arachaim chelek dalet simin samach vav. And I wonder about that Tosfos in Gittin. Look at the context. He's talking about a mumar. He's not talking about a mumar. He's not talking about some Jew with a non-Jewish name. But you don't want to have the shame of the mumar in the get. That's the gnai gadol. Shame shall mumar lavod azar beget. Vein ze inyan klal the Yehudi sheyesh lo shame anachri. Along the way, he quotes the. Remember, we've quoted this in the past. Remember, the Gemara in Yuma discusses the story of Shimon HaTzadik and Alexander the Great, right? That the Kusim wanted the base of the should be destroyed, and they got Alexander to come to Yerushalayim, and then he comes and he sees Shimon HaTzadik wearing the big day going godly. He gets off his horse, he bows down to him. What are you doing? I see him in he's my good luck charm. I see him in my vision, my dream, every time I go out to war. So Shimon HaTzadik says, what are you doing? I'm here to destroy the base of Migdash. Well, we daven for you every day. So how could you do that? So that's the end of the story there in Yuma and Samach Tes. The Gemara there brings that story to talk about the Big Day Kahuna, whether you're allowed to wear the Big Day Kahuna, Shalom B'Shas Avoda. Okay. But there's an additional point to the story, or a different ending of the story in the Seder Hadoros. You know, one of the Achronim from the 1800s who wrote the Sefer, with a different entry, an entry for every, Tana, Amora, Rishon, Achron, up into him. So if you look in the entry of Shimon HaTzadik, in my version, it's page 137. He has a continuation of the discussion. Alexander the Great says to Shimon HaTzadik, but wait a minute, I'm not going to destroy the base of Mikdash. You know what? I want you to put a huge statue of me in the Heichal. and then I'll won't destroy the base of Mikdash. He's like, we can't do that. You know, that's, he's thinking, what am I supposed to do now? If I say no, he says, wait a minute, I have an idea. A statue is temporary. You know, it could be here tomorrow, gone tomorrow. You know what? We're going to make a rule that all baby boys born this year will be named Alexander. And that's much more of a remembrance for you, because that's going to go on for generations, because we name after great grandparents. So your name is going to be the Kachave. And that's why we have many Alexanders in Judaism today, because of that's going back to that story. That's what he says. V'yevakish ha-melech v'shem ha-tzadik, sh'asol ha-zikar, t'mus t'yokno, v'yosimu aldo b'na ulam b'na mizbeach, v'yashivu ha-kohen sh'asr lo, aval zecher gadol, me'asher sh'alt ha-nasa l'chash, kol kohanim ha-noladim b'sha-zu, the verse is kohanim, any kohen, ha-noladim b'sha-nazu yikaru Alexander, al-shimcha, v'yitav b'na v'adavar, v'yiten ha-melech zahav l'rov l'betek ha-vayis, v'yishtachmu l'ashem, the Yatza, the Chulu, and he continues with that story. So that's a discussion, is that? But now, it's been Morgal, right? Now, Alexander is not known as a non-Jewish name. Maybe it's even more of a Jewish name, in that case. Okay, but either way, this came with the Rebbe Bun of Rebbe Bun, allowed us to talk a little bit about some names. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara now. So we're talking about these Jumdin in this area have this double board, in order to create the enclosed area. What if you don't have a double board? The next one we're gonna have a couple of other structures in the four corners of the area. Are you allowed to view them as if they're sort of the function as a double board? What if you have a very large stone, but it's much bigger than a double board? So if you have a very large stone, are you allowed to, you know, somehow look at it as if there's is it only looked at as one board? Remember we said one flat board in the corner is not gonna work. So if you have a big stone there, you have to look at it as like one board, or could you view it ki'ilu, it's cut out, and you cut out a double board from it, which is, it's the mass of this rock is much more than the double board. So that's what the Gemara says. Haisa ebn achaz gadola, rowin, you're allowed to view it. Shim techalek, if you would split it up, v'yish bashisha lakad v'shisha lakad, if you would be able to view it as if it's cut out, and there's six tvachim going one way, and this tvachim going the other way, it's as if there are two right triangles. You're allowed to cut this stone, make two right triangles, and there are, you know, two boards going up. Nidah b'shem diyome, that's good enough. Is tani tani shim techakek. There's another girsa that says, if you can be chokek. What's the difference between the lashon? Techalek or techakek? If you cut it, if you engrave it, what's the difference? Haven boy meimar, so we thought to say the difference is, man, and we're going to say ultimately there is no difference, but we thought to say the following difference. Shem, manda amar shem techakek mode mi befnim. Manda mar shem techalek mode mi bachutz. If you cut, let's say you cut ke'ilu, you view it. You don't have to cut it. But if you view this big stone as if you cut the edge, you cut the edge with six tefachim on one side, six tefachim on the other side. But do you measure from outside that cut or from inside that cut? From outside that cut is gets you a little bit longer. So maybe that's the difference, right? If it's you hold techakek, that's from the inside. If it's techalek, it's from the outside. The Gemara says, come on, really? That's the measurement, whether you measure from the inside or from the outside. Remember we said that these diomas don't have any minimum width. So you can make it a tiny, tiny, very width. So Amar Rabbi Yosa, velo ad keklipas hashum achitzona, that you can make this diomet as if it's like the thinness of a layer of garlic or of onion, a very little peel. At asil lahamida, that's what you're gonna do. So, if you say that, so then measuring it from the inside and the outside, how much of a difference is there? A tiny, tiny, minuscule measurement? That can't be the difference between the two. So therefore, it says the Gemara, it can't be that the machlokas between the brises is a better measure from the inside, from the outside. Havi lo shanya. Really, there's no difference. Right? The machlokas can't be about a mashihu. And therefore, the Gemara says, bein kamanda amar shem techalik, bein kamanda shem techakek. Modi mi bifnim. You measure from the same place. And really, there's no machlokas between these versions of the brises. Man demar shem techakek, the one that says v'loshen techakek, ba'agula. It's talking about a round rock. If you have a very large round rock, so then you'll have to view it as if you have to like cut out the edges to make it look square. Man demar shem techalek b'merubas. Techalek, it's a simpler way of visualizing it. and it's not talking about a square one. But basically, there's no difference. Teidol lachan, I'll prove it to you. I'll prove to you there's no machlokas here. Shehu kein, techein tanya, masav lachavre, because one of the opinion that held one brisa said to the one that held the other brisa, ein be dvare ledvarecha el ashaata omer ba'gul avani omer b'mirubas. Right? They said it beferish. Right? That one of them said, oh, you're talking about a square one, I'm talking about a circular one. So you see there's no machlokas between these brises, period. How do you view a stone? How do you view a stone? Again, all of this has to do with, I wanted to mention this earlier, but, we're talking about this machlokas between Rebbe Meir and, Rebbe Yehuda about these diumads. Again, as we said, these halachas are in the Rambam, but not in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Rambam has to figure out who he passing like, Rebbe Meir or Rebbe Yehuda, in these cases, not the Shulchan Aruch, because it's not halacha lemaisa in terms of it's for only for the Shas Ole Regel. But the Rambam had to figure out who we paskin like. Generally, we do not paskin like Rebbe Meir. Right? The Gemara in Erevin. Discusses, the big one. Daf Yud Gimel talks about the, question of why we never paskin like Rebbe Meir. It seems like, and there's, the Gemara later on in Erevin has a whole daf about whenever there's a machlokas between, different tanoim, what the rules are, and amoraim. But the Gemara there in Erevin and Daf Yud Gimel Beis says there's a specific reason we don't pass on like Rebbe Meir. Usually we don't, there's no reason given. Rebbe Shimon and Rebbe Yehuda, and you have all these whole lists of what the rules are. But here, unusually, the Gemara says in Erevin Yud Gimel Beis, we don't pass on like Rebbe Meir because he was very, very sharp. So you might think, what do you mean? That should be a reason we do pass on like him. He's so sharp. But the Gemara says, Galui v'yadua, lefnei misha amar v'haya ha'olam. It's known in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Bavli, Erevin Yud Gimel. She'ein b'darash Rebbe Meir Kamoso. Everybody knows, Hashem knows, that there is nobody as great as Rebbe Meir in his generation. Because the Rebbe Meir was so sharp, they couldn't understand what his maskana was. She'omer al tamei tarv al mara lo panim, al tar tamei mara lo panim. He had such lumdis, he could convince you that this was tamei for 10 reasons, and then 5 minutes later he convinced you why it was tar for 10 reasons. And therefore, so they couldn't know his maskana. So what? He didn't quote a maskana there? He must have quoted a maskana. Maybe people will get lost along the way. Sometimes you're in the middle of the shir, like you lose it in one place, then it's just, you're gone, we're gone. And we don't know we won't come back. We don't know when to, unless the Rav hopefully says, okay, we're starting a new section now. And then everybody wakes up okay, I can follow now. But that's the mayor discusses that. The postkim discuss, the Ben Yoyada discusses there, you know, if he's, we should paskin like him. And he says, no, like I just explained, right? He bemesu atzmo, osa stira ledvarim, umar lem she'inza emes. They didn't know what to trust anymore because he was so convincing, whatever he said. So it was too confusing for them. And that's why the Chachamim said, better not to paskin like Rebbe Meir. Interesting. The next line, there's a line later on though, where the, Rebbe says, Amar Rebbe, hai de mechadadna mechavroi, the fact that I was smarter and sharper than my friends, the chazis le Rebbe Meir me'achorei. I heard a shir from Rebbe Meir. Even though I was sitting in the back and only saw the back of his head, I saw Rebbe Meir. Ve'ilu chazis mikamei, havi mechadad natvei. If I would have seen the front, right, mechadad natvei, it would have been even sharper. Right, maybe we should do Zoom. And then, the chazdichsev, ohayu einecha rose as marecha. Right, it's seeing. The seeing is, and there's even Kabbalistically, there's a Radvaz. The Radvaz in a Tshuva, in Chela Gimel, Simin, Tuf Ayin Beis, he quotes that there is Torah that is transmitted Kabbalistically between a Rebbe and a Talmud as they look at it, they're face to face. Kibios Adam Miskaven al Rabo, Venosin alav Libo, Tiskasher Nafsho Benafsho. V'yochol alav me'ashef asher alav, v'yelo nefesh yisera, v'zen nikra etzlam sod ha'ibur b'chayei shneihem, v'zeo shenemar v'yo enecha marosez marecha, v'ez hisyatzvu shem imach v'yatzalti min haruach. And that's why you should always look. And anyway, that's the Radvaz has a tshuva like that. Okay, that's a little bit Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Yehuda in our sugyas here. So we spoke about what if you have a rock at the corner. So now, what else? Hayusham, charitz amok asar v'racha v'rabah. What if at the corner, again, you have a pit that you want to enclose, but at the corner of what you want to enclose, you have another charitz, you have a pit, not of the water, but just a pit. So it's 10 deep and 4 wide. V'yesh lo shisha l'kan v'shish l'kan. And again, there's 6 tvachim if you would cut it, ki'ilu, it was a rock, six on each side. Need the Mishab Diyama, that's also good. Lo Saftavar Charetz, El Afilu Kapshushis. Even if it's not a Charetz, even if it's a mound of dirt, as long as it's the right measurements, you would have six Tvachim on each side. Mixas Acharetz, Mixas Kapshushis. Even if you could also team up, you could have part pile of dirt and part ditch. As long as you could get an imaginary six Tvachim coming out on each side, you're good. If you have five reeds, you have poles in the corners. You have poles in the corners. You don't have the longer diumas, but you have poles. And there isn't three tfachim between each one, so there's lavud. That's also good. Right? If you have the boards, if you have the poles there, and there aren't three tfachim in between each one. Shlosha, the kasher, not giving me a lamalon. What about Tzuras HaPesach? What if you have a Tzuras HaPesach on the corners? Right, shlosha v'kashanami gemi lamala moshi yatsa mishum peya. Does it work? So here the Gemara says no. Everything up to now was it works, it works, it works, it works. So as a Pesach is not going to work. Klum matpeya matzel zachi muchachas mikolt stadeha. Right, doesn't Tzuras HaPesach? When have we used Tzuras HaPesachs before to enclose fully an area? We said Tzuras HaPesach is even better than a board. Okay, that's true, but that's if you have three other walls, or if you have four Tzuras HaPesachs surrounding. Remember achsadra babika, But to have one Tzuras HaPesach, here you need a board. You need to extend this. Therefore, Tzuras HaPesach only works when it's mikolat stadim. Says the Gemara, okay, ela b'hein da'gol and kesasimu. What about if you have, and again in the picture books you have it, you have in the corner, you have a squared off area, meaning with four Tzuras HaPesachs. Could you use that to be ki'ilu if it's six tfachim on each side? Could you use an area of Tzuras HaPesach enclosed in the corner there? The Gemara says, Hechma da'at amar tamon. So just like if you have a rock, like we said before, you could view it as if it's, cut out that you have six on each side. So mar ofach, okay, would you say the same thing here? Would you say the same thing here? Well, why not? Right? Why don't you, what would be the problem? You have a whole enclosed area, so you can view it. The Gemara says, no, here might be worse. Why? Tamon. Over there, let's say by the rock, you could view it as if it's cut out, and it's as if you have the outer edge of the rock still there, on the two sides. But hacha, ma'islacha, imomer at kain, vital te'ilchas peya. But here, what are you gonna do? Ki'ilu, the whole enclosed area is cut out and you only have the two sides, but we just said that a Tzuras HaPesach only works if it's an enclosed area. A rock is a rock and a piece of a rock, even if you don't have the whole rock there. But the Tzuras HaPesach only works if it's in a closed area. So maybe because we're imagining as if you only have the two outer walls, so maybe that ruins the whole thing. The Gemara does not answer the question. Because you might say, no, the whole thing is imaginary anyway. So it works as it is, as Tzuras HaPesach, you have like four of them there. So you can view it as if it's cut out. So unclear, the Gemara has a bai de lifshita, we don't answer that question, whether the four Tzuras HaPesach in the corner would work. Hakosav o'ilan v'ha'ishus. Also, kanim, if you have a wall or a tree, then also reeds, kanim, yom shim diomad, right, you're allowed to view that as, again, as if you could cut it out and views as a double board. Alu me'alehen, what if they're there? You didn't put them there. Alu me'alehen, they sprouted there. You have these reeds that sprouted. Or like we said before, the rock that's there. Anything that you didn't put there, then matatan bohenad beis asayim. Then there's a limit. We're going to learn about this also. If something is there, the walls are there before you decided to use it, that's called mechitza shelo hukaf ladira. A makom, a karpev shelo hukaf ladira. But if you have an area that's enclosed, that's very large, so then we said that's the sugi of karpev. That if you have an enclosed area that wasn't enclosed for residential purposes, then there's a maximum about how big. So if you have these diomed type of things that you're going to use that would just put there by itself, so you have a maximum, it's up to Beis HaSayim. Asan biyad, but if you yourself put it up there, then it can be huge, because that's called, you're putting it up for residential usage. You want to give your animals water. So matatzan ben, afilu kor, afilu kirayim, right, even if it's very large. Period. Again, like the karpef sugyas are very big. Just to mention one, whenever this comes up, I'll try to mention like one or two. And again, Rabbi Jachter Sefer about the Erev has everything you need to know about all of these. But let's say, again, we're talking about a large area. You can't build an Erev. A karpef inside an Erev would pashas ruin it. So a karpev shlo hukaf ladira, if it's not used for residential purposes. So what does residential purposes mean? So he says, accordingly, sports fields, playgrounds, and lakes used for boating do not constitute karpifiot. Those aren't problems, because those are used. You play a game on the sports field. That's not an area that's not used for, you know, where does the issue come up? If you have a huge forest, a very wooded area that nobody goes into. That's a potential karpif problem. Or if you have a very large, lake that nobody boats in, nobody swims in, nothing. Right? So is that a problem? And he writes, my experience indicates that this issue arises much more often in suburban and rural areas than in urban areas, as an urban setting contains fewer underdeveloped, areas. So what is the question is, can you build, an Eruv around these? The way that you solve the problem is if you put a Tzuris HaPesachs or a fence around these areas, basically excluding them from the Eruv. But sometimes, as he writes, it's very difficult. He says the lenient position of some authorities might solve this problem. He quotes, the Bir Halacha quotes from the Dvar Shmuel, that if it's within a city and only a small part of the city, then it's basically batel, and Chazal wouldn't have been gozer on it to ruin the Eruv. And that's what happens in many, many areas. And he quotes, that's a major machlokes haposkim. And he writes, there are many cities, and he has an expert in Eruvs, that would not be able to build an Eruv if you didn't rely on this Dvar Shmuel. And the Bir Halacha sounds like B'shas Hadchak, you could rely on it. This issue remains controversial, as some communities rely on the Dvar Shmuel, while others do not. A number of Israeli rabbis have told me that the practice in Israel is to follow the leading position of the Dvar Shmuel, except at B'nai Brak, where the Chazanish resided. It is exceedingly difficult to exclude every karpath within Israel's growing cities. Hence, they rely on the Dvar Shmuel's lenient opinion. Another Sava Hakel is, if it's an area that beautifies the city, let's say there's a huge lake, but people walk around it, and it adds to the aesthetic nature, then that might be called, that's residential. That's used to improve the cities. That's another heter that people use. Right? If a carpet beautifies the city, it does not forbid caring. And then he quotes from the Aruch HaShulchan, allowing it. And then Rabbi Jachter says, in my experience, adopting a strict view regarding karpath often makes Eruvin nearly impossible to maintain. The exclusion of karpio from Eruvin often involves maintaining Tzuris HaPesachs in very difficult terrain, which can be extraordinarily difficult, especially during times of inclement weather. When necessary, following the Aruch HaShulchan's more flexible approach often makes the difference about whether a community is able to maintain its Eruv. So again, that's one. Another time we'll speak about bodies of water, but that's the general karpif issue. And this is what it says here, that if you have these ishus or reeds that are there memela, so then that would be an issue of karpif shluk of the dira. But if you put it up, there wouldn't be a problem at all. Okay, we'll have to start with Haisa Ber Achas next time.